Today, let's play some more Number Wang. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, world's latest post covering finance and property news. Well, the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate fell by 0.1 percentage points to 4% in May, according to the latest data from the ABS. The ABS said with employment rising by about 40,000 people and the number of unemployed falling by 9,000 people, the unemployment rate fell to 4%. In April, we saw more unemployed people than usual waiting to start work. Some of the fall in unemployment and the rise in employment in May reflects those people returning or starting to their jobs. While the total number of unemployed people fell by 9,000 in May, that followed a 33,000 increase in April. Unemployment was around 24,000 people more than in March. That's an average increase of around 12,000 people each month. So there are now almost 600,000 unemployed people. However, that's still nearly 110,000 fewer people than in March 2020, just before the pandemic. As a result of the increase in employment and the fall in unemployment, the seasonally adjusted employment to population ratio stuck at 64.1%, and the participation rate remained at 66.8%. The employment to population ratio and the participation rate both continue to be much higher than their pre-pandemic levels. Together with elevated levels of job vacancies, this suggests the labour market remains relatively tight, though less than in late 2022 and early 2023, the ABS said. Seasonally adjusted monthly hours worked actually fell by 0.5%, and the growth rate over recent months was broadly in line with employment. Some of the reduction in hours in May reflected more employed people than usual working reduced hours because they were sick. Similar to May 23, around 4.2% of people worked fewer hours because they were sick, compared with the pre-pandemic average for May of 3.5%, the ABS said. The seasonally adjusted underemployment rate remained steady at 6.7% in May 2024, and while the underemployment rate has risen by 0.3 percentage points since May 2023, it remains 2 percentage points lower than March 2020. The underutilization rate, which combines the unemployment rate and underemployment rates, also remains steady at 10.7%, while this was 0.7 percentage points higher than May 2023. It was 3.2 percentage points lower than March 2020. Turning to the underlying trend data, which tries to move some of the lumps and bumps out the way, in May, the trend unemployment rate rose to 4%, up from a revised 3.9% in April. The trend term data show that employment grew by 39,000 people, or 0.3%, and that continued to be faster growth than the 20-year pre-pandemic average of 0.2%. Hours worked rose by 0.3% between April and May, in line with the increased employment. And the employment to population ratio remains at 64.1% in May. That was still close to the historically high levels seen through 2023, although still 1.9 percentage points higher than March 2020. The participation rate remained at 66.7% for 12 consecutive months and remains well above the 65.6% in March 2020. In trend terms, the participation rate remains particularly high for women at 62.7% and around 1.5 percentage points higher than its pre-pandemic level. The participation rate also remains high for men at 70.8%, which is around 0.7 percentage points more than in March 2020, the ABS said. The gap between female and male participation rates has been around 8 percentage points over the past year, compared to around 9.6 percentage points in the year before the pandemic. The underemployment rate remained at 6.7% and the underutilization rate stayed at 10.6%. And the most recent trend data continues to point to a relatively tight labour market, the ABS said. And by the way, across the states, trend unemployment was as high as 4.3% in Victoria and as low as 3.6% in Western Australia and 3.8% in both New South Wales and the ACT. So it does vary across the states. Now, a couple of points to make. The first is that there has been some change in the data here, thanks to the change in the sampling this month. again. And there is still, I think, a big question mark as to whether this data is actually telling the full story. We know, of course, that more people have multiple jobs and more people are having to work multiple jobs just to get by because of the high cost of living. Now, the other factor to think about here is the net overseas migration and the impact on the employment numbers. We know we need between 35,000 and 40,000 new jobs each month just to stand still. And we are actually just about getting there. But it's worth noting that the Albanese government continually and routinely underestimates the actual results of net overseas migration. For example, last year, the federal budget projected 400,000 net overseas migration for 22-23. The official total, though, was 528,500. The 315,000 net overseas migration project for 23-24 has been raised up to 325,000 in the December MIEFO and then to 395,000 in last month's federal budget. And now the ABS has released net overseas migration figures for the December quarter, which, by the way, set a new record high for net overseas migration. The September quarter release posted net overseas migration of 548,800, which has been revised up to an all-time high of 564,645 net overseas migration, retraced to 547,267 in the December quarter, suggesting migration may have moved past its peak until it's reset, perhaps next time when they revise the numbers again. And in similar vein, Australia's population grew by a record 685,600 people in the year to September 2023, which retraced marginally to 651,200 at the end of December. The population growth rate was 2.5% in the fourth quarter. That's the highest since 1952. Now, it's worth noting that the share of Australia's population growth driven by net overseas migration actually hit a record high of 84% in the December quarter. So in reality, pretty much all of Australia's population growth comes from net overseas migration, both directly as migrants arrive off the plane and indirectly as migrants have children counted as natural increase. Australia's natural increase, by the way, continues to collapse, reflecting falling birth rates and rising deaths. And the latest net overseas migration figures really show that Australia's net overseas migration was 178,500 in the third quarter and 129,400 in the fourth quarter, making a total of 307,900 in the first half. That leaves, wait for it, only 87,100 worth of net overseas migration over the first half of this year to meet the federal budget's 395,000 net overseas migration target for 23-24. So you can ask yourself whether they're likely to achieve that. And of course, this very strong net overseas migration feeds directly into the unemployment information. As I've said, we need to make 35,000 to 40,000 new jobs each month just to cover the new migrants coming in to keep the unemployment rate roughly steady. We are doing that just now. But of course, the question is, how much longer can we do it for? Surely the overseas migration story needs to be trimmed back. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.